You're listening to
The Homo Homie Podcast,
representing, educating, and unifying our queer comunidad.
Also, a gay craft course 101 for the hetero. I'm your host, Eric V.
And I'm your co-host, Jose Resendez.
A fun kickback podcast for all our homo homies and raza.
We invite you to download, stream, and share
to find out what's good in the hood. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Homo Homie Podcast. Today's episode is a very special episode. I'm your host, Eric V, along with my co-host,
Jose Resendez.
Hey.
What's up?
So today is World AIDS Day. We are honoring and remembering those who have passed and who are living with HIV. And it's a very special subject and near and dear to my heart. And we wanted to talk about it because, you know, when starting this podcast, we want to get the information out there and just make sure that everybody's safe and protected and using protection when having sex, right?
Right. I mean, I feel like not enough gays talk about HIV and AIDS and safe sex. Mm-hmm. We kind of wait till these moments like World AIDS Day or, you know, Gay Pride. It's when these conversations happen. But I feel like they should definitely be happening more often, especially as preventive, you know, as a form of educating, especially young Latinos, young gay Latinos.
Yeah.
They especially need this type of education.
Yeah, young people of color, you know, it's actually prevalent among the Black and Latino community. So, and that's what we're here for, you guys. We want to just make sure that you're well educated and you know what's up and what's going on in the world. And before we start, you know, I wanted to just give a couple of facts and educational points on what it's all about. So World AIDS Day started in 1988 with the awareness of the AIDS pandemic caused by the spread of HIV. And if you don't know what AIDS stands for, it stands for Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome. And then HIV, which is before AIDS, it's called Human Immunodeficiency Virus. It's what kills the white blood cells, which is a CD4 when you look on your blood reports, which is your body's immune defense system. So, I mean, everybody knows or thinks that it is a gay disease or a gay thing. It's not a gay disease. HIV and AIDS does not discriminate. So no matter what your gender, color, sex, whatever it is, you know, it's out there and it's on the rise. And we want to just tackle the stigma about it because it's really bad. When people look at somebody with HIV, they automatically think they're gay, they're gay, they're gay. They're not gay. I mean, it's straight. It's anyone.
And yeah, it doesn't discriminate. So anybody could get it.
And interesting fact, if you didn't know, it actually started back in the 1900s, through chimpanzees, which they had the virus in their blood systems. What had happened is like some hunters would go to Africa and hunt these chimpanzees down, and they would eat them, you know? And so from eating these animals, it would go into the bloodstream, and eventually, without knowing, these people didn't know what this was, they go back to wherever, you know, that they're from, and they would go from host to host to host, and eventually ending up in America. And the first published reports so happened to be of gay individuals acquiring this immunodeficiency virus. So,
oh,
yeah.
So maybe that's where it started, right? As far as like people thinking, just assuming that it's a gay thing when it's really not.
Yeah. So, because once it was published, that's when it just took off. Oh, the gays did it. The gays did it. So it's like, no, yeah. We didn't do it. It just happened to be out there, and that's what happened.
Another strong statistic that I wanted to share is that there's an estimated 1.2 million people just in the United States that have HIV. That was by the end of 2018, according to the CDC. And so out of those 1.2 million people, 1 in 7 didn't know that they had HIV.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so crazy because I'm like, y'all need to get tested.
Exactly.
Like, even like right now that we're going through this whole COVID thing, even if you're not feeling the symptoms, even if you think that you're a badass and you don't got it, like, what does it hurt to get tested? you know, and testing is free nowadays. So I know we're going to get into more of that later, but we also wanted to bring up our friends of the Wall Las Memorias because we had collaborated with them recently for their Drag Bootcamp LA. And so the Wall Las Memorias is like a local initiative here in Los Angeles that our co-producer Roman told us about. He actually was part of the committee when he moved to Los Angeles. And Eddie Martinez, who we had on our podcast, was part of that, the founding group that helped establish what it is, along with Richard Saldivar. And what it is, it's basically a tribute, a memorial for Latinos that have died from AIDS. It's a beautiful structure here in Los Angeles, close to the East LA downtown area. So if you're listening, if you want to check it out, definitely recommend to look into that.
And yeah, it's important for you to go check it out and just realize, you know, that it affects everyone. And with that being said, let's just pay a moment of our respects and to have a moment of silence to honor the memory of those lives lost. With that silence, I wanted to share something with you guys as well. And something, you know, we are a family and we've grown and you've gotten to know us and know who we are. And just, I want to go more in depth with me and so you guys can understand that, you know, I am someone who has been living with HIV. I'm healthy. I'm taking my meds. I'm undetected. I've protected myself, and there's a long story behind how I got it and what I'm doing now to prevent it from going into AIDS. So I just want you to know that just because you have it, it's not going to have you. And I also want to add that now that I have this platform, I'm able to tell my story in hopes that I can make a difference in somebody else's life. And that's the whole point of, you know, telling my story and being vulnerable and opening up to you guys and being able to not be afraid to disclose my status with you guys.
Thank you, Eric, so much for being vulnerable and sharing that with us. I know that we've been talking about it for months, even since we started the podcast. So I want to thank you for sharing that with us. You know, living with being HIV positive, I can only imagine. And so I know that when we come back from the break, you are going to take us through this journey. So I've actually never led us to the break. So you're listening to the Homo Homie Podcast.
All right. And we are back from the break. And now it's time to tell my story and get to know a little bit about me and how I acquired HIV. Jose, I'm going to put you on pause for a minute. Please hold your questions till after. So I used to get tested every 3 months before I became positive, and I was always making sure that I was healthy and, you know, that I was always safe and aware of my status. And I wanted to protect others as well and not be reckless and not be the stereotypical statistic of a reckless gay who, you know, who's just going to be getting HIV. No. I mean, you know, I dated here and there. And yes, I did have protected sex. And sometimes I did have unprotected sex. But again, the fact that I got tested every 3 months to make sure that I was okay was a reassurance in my part that, you know, I was doing what I was supposed to be doing as an adult. And so to the person that I got it from, somebody who I got to know, who told me about their status, I just learned about them a lot. And getting to know them, I was getting educated by them. So by the time I tested positive, I knew what to do. And the way that I knew that I became infected was one day we were in my van. And I had a Grand Caravan at the time, and we both were living at our parents' houses. So we couldn't go to our parents' houses and have sex. So naturally, it was a Grand Caravan. So we got crazy in the van. And I had condoms in the glove compartment. And interesting fact, do not keep condoms in your wallet or glove compartment or in a hot place. Make sure they're in a cool place, because the chances of them ripping are very great. And that's basically what happened. We had sex in the van, and then when he pulled out after he came, he saw that the condom had broke. And that's when I knew, like, oh shit, I'm infected. I already knew. Went home. I tried to clean it out as much as I could, but, you know, all the semen. But yeah, so a couple of months surpassed. I got really sick, like really, like flu-like symptoms. The signs of knowing that you might have HIV is a sore throat, swollen glands, muscle aches. Some get a skin rash, nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea, night sweats. I mean, I had the sore throat, swollen glands, and the nausea and vomiting and diarrhea. And then that's how I kind of knew. I was like, oh shit, like it got really bad because it took me a week to get over it, a week and a half actually. And after I got over it, I went to the doctor, and sure enough, I got my test results on July 7th of 2006. And ever since then, I made a vow to myself that I was not gonna be one of those people who go around sleeping around with men and not telling them, that I would disclose my status. I do have the apps, and I also put my status on there as well. And, you know, and just deal with it, take the meds, do what I gotta do to stay healthy and undetected, and stay in the clear and not pass it to anybody, and just make sure that I continue to protect myself and get tested every 3 months like I have been doing, because that's very important. And yeah, I've been living with it ever since. And I kind of never told my family. Like some members I did, very few members, like two cousins. One of my cousins had passed away from diabetes, who I told. And then my aunt as well, she also died of diabetes. And then another cousin of mine, he knows. And, you know, he supported me. He's cool. And other than that, like, just friends, close friends of mine who've been there for me as well. They know about my status. They're very supportive. And, you know, they're very loving. But I never got to really tell my dad before he passed, because I didn't want him to get mad at me. And I didn't want to tell my mom, but an unfortunate event led to the fact that I told her one night when I was drunk. And I got in an altercation with my brother, and I kind of scratched him, and he was bleeding, and I just got worried, and I blurted it out. And that's when my mom confronted me. She was like, what? Like it was something that I didn't want to do, and it was the worst thing ever for me, like the worst feeling ever, because it was just like, my God, like, first I tell her that I'm fucking gay. Now I tell her that I have HIV. Like, that's every parent's worst nightmare. I think that's mainly the reason why parents are somewhat scared of their children being gay, is because, you know, they don't want them to go through this. They don't want them to get that. That's major. I mean, me coming from a Latino culture, it's very hard to hear, and nobody wants to hear that. It's a very machismo culture, and the fact that, you know, I'm gay now on top of being HIV positive just kind of makes it worse. And I'm just, the way it's been painted among the community, it makes me look like a hoe, you know? And then when in fact I wasn't really doing that. And yeah, I mean, that's my story. I mean, that's how I acquired HIV. But I'm undetected, I'm healthy, I'm cool, you know. I try to educate others. A lot of friends have come to me through the DMs, and who know about me, hit me up, and hey, you know, I just recently tested positive. What do I do? How do I do it? I'm scared. I'm all like, man, like, you know, you don't need to be scared. You know, I'm fortunate because I have the person that gave it to me, I knew who they were, and I got to know about the status. And I did all the research and education on it that I was comfortable by that time. So I know how people might have felt who don't have that, you know, education background on it. They get scared. They don't know what to do. They feel like the world's going to end. It's not going to end. With the advancement of technology nowadays, like, it's amazing that we have gotten to this point. And I'm very thankful, knock on wood, I'm very thankful that we have medication to help us suppress the virus and keep us undetected and keep us from passing it on, along with other medications for those who don't have it, who take it, which is called PrEP. So that's my story, you know. Now getting tested nowadays and coming out positive, it's not a death sentence. It's you don't need to worry anymore. It's okay. I'm here to tell you that I'm a living testament that it's okay. So after 14 years and I still look healthy and I still have a good glow on my face, you know, I'm a little bit obese because of the quarantine, but I mean, that's a good sign. I mean, that should tell you that you'll be fine.
Thank you, Eric. Oh my God, I have a million questions to ask you.
And ask away. I don't mind at all. That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. So I want to go back to that, Eric, before you were infected. Mm-hmm. And please, like, forgive me, you and anybody who's listening, if I'm using the wrong terminology or if I'm asking questions that may come across as, like, you know, invasive. But I don't like when people say, like, oh my God, you shouldn't be asking those questions because that's rude or whatever. Well, we have an opportunity and we have a platform right now to really talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you these questions. And you can be honest with me. We're having this open conversation.
Yeah, I want us to be honest. And that's what we're here for. So that way, you know, others don't really have to disclose it and people can get that information from us.
Yes. So going back to the Eric before you were infected, you had mentioned something about, like, not being a hoe, right? Mm-hmm. Around what age were you when you were with this individual that infected you?
2006, I was 25, 26.
Okay. So, and you already knew that he was HIV positive as you were dating him?
Yeah.
Is this something that he disclosed, like, on the first date type of thing? Or is it something you found out, like, surprisingly?
To be honest with you, I actually found out through a friend of his who was kind of, like, giving me, like, dropping the hints. Not really telling me about the status, but just saying, you know, like, oh, he has the sauce. They call it the sauce in the community.
What?
Yeah, that's what it's called. He has the sauce. And
I've never heard of that.
Yeah. And I really loved this individual and I really cared for this person and I really wanted it to work between me and him. So I took the steps to, like, kind of get educated on it. And then, you know, when he told me about it, you know, I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to be like, hey, yeah, you know, I'm comfortable with it, but I want to get to know you and let's just start off as friends and see where it goes from there. And that kind of hurt him, I guess, in a way, because we were already kind of starting to see each other without sex. And so it bothered him that I said that, like, oh, I wanted him as a friend with benefits or a friend, you know, like saying, like, oh, that I didn't want to mess around with him because he had it.
Yeah, so it's like you knowing he had it made you step away, take a step back.
Yeah, but I reflected on it and I did my research on it and I really wanted to be with him. So
because you were already in love with him. There was feelings and emotions involved.
Yes.
Wow. Because nowadays, I feel like there's some people that once they find out that this person has HIV, then it's like a deal breaker.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even want to go on a first date. You know, I don't want to get to know you because I don't want to be your life partner and eventually get infected and, like, also deal with it. Right.
Yeah.
So with that being said, like, and that's just opinions. How has that affected your dating life nowadays?
A lot. It has a lot to do with it because now, before I didn't disclose. And then when I did, that was the deal breaker. That was like, okay, no. It, you know, we can be friends. It's cool. And now I kind of it like hit me back, like karma came back. And I was like, oh my God, now I know what that person felt like when I did it to them. So I was like, shit, you know, like, so now I make it a point to just be upfront, you know, hey, this is me. This is my status. And I'm using treatment as prevention and I'm undetected. I'm healthy. And I leave it up to them after that.
Okay. And then what about, like, those dating apps? I know that some of them give you the option to put mm-hmm. your status on there. Like, let's say, like, Grindr or I don't know. But some of them, like Tinder or Bumble, they don't. Some apps do and some apps don't. Yeah. And so there's also these situations where you go to the bar, to the nightclub, to a bar. Or maybe you visit, like, one of these, like, saunas or, like, you know, bathhouses. You know, that's not an app. So how do you disclose it then where sometimes something like a Grindr or whatever can give you the option of disclosing it? How do you disclose it? Like,
so with that being said, I do have the apps myself. I do use them. I put my status up there actually. And I do have my status on there on all the apps. And if it doesn't allow you to put it, like if it doesn't have like an option for it, you can put it in your bios. So just put it out there beforehand. And you will see using treatment as prevention is usually what means HIV positive instead of just saying HIV positive, because a lot of people will look at that and then they'll just go swipe and they'll move on to the next person. I mean, I think that's why people pass on me all the time. I don't get a lot of burp, burp, burp. So I don't get woofed a lot either. So, I mean, it's just, I think like at the end of the day, it's what you said. It's the deal breaker. It's the yay or nay.
So I'm curious, is there like a community? Obviously, there's so many sub-communities, but is there like a thing where like positive people date positive people?
I believe so. I mean, within the apps, you're bound to find somebody. But there should be other dating sites I haven't looked into yet, but there should be other dating sites that probably do have pause for pause, you know? And you also touched on saunas and bathhouses.
Yes.
There's pretty much signs outside of those facilities that state, you know, like this, enter at your discretion. We are not liable for anything that happens, blah, 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 blah. And they do have cautionary signs. They do have signs about, you know, no drugs, no alcohol, no nothing. So you just got to be cautious. And if you're going in there, you're going in there knowing full intentionally what you're doing. It's nothing that's going to be a surprise to you later on. Like you're going in there, you're signing a waiver and that's it.
Yeah, actually, a lot of DL men go there. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of these like cruising spots and parking lots and Vaseline alleys and WeHo and these other apps that are super discreet and on the DL, they attract a lot of these men that are, not all of them, but that are living this straight life or married or like have a girlfriend or a wife or kids. And deep down inside, or they might be bisexual, they might be gay in the closet, whatever the case may be, they're also trying to, you know, have their pleasure with men. And so they might not be using protection, or they might be going to these extremes of going to like a bathhouse, right?
Yeah.
So do you think that that's like a spreader? Like that's not really helping the situation.
Well, it is one causing factor of a spreader. Yes, it's not the main one, but yes, it is one causing factor of it. And there are a lot of DL men out there, especially when it's coming from our cultures, you know, the Black and Latino culture. Our culture is based on machismo. Like I said earlier, you can't openly express yourself of being gay or telling your family because they're going to think a certain way of you. And, you know, they might disown you. So that's the fear that you have there. And so we are forced, or Latinos are forced, to go get a girlfriend. The veil, you would say, and just kind of like hide it. And so they would get the girlfriend, and then later on they would go to the side and do their thing, the DL thing, the down low. And it's very prevalent in our communities.
I think especially with people of color, not just Latinos, right? Even a lot of Black men, especially in urban cities like Atlanta and here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
There's just that DL thing is huge. I mean, I'm going to be honest. I would say like more than half of the guys that hit me up, even through Instagram, have girlfriends, wives, are DL. They have kids.
Yep.
They're confused about where they stand on this. And they want raw sex because they may not be used to having protected sex when it comes to their girlfriends and wives, you know? So yeah, it's a whole mess. But I also want to bring up the fact that in the last episode, you told us that you tested positive for Miss Coronavirus.
Yes. She came to visit my tia
Eric,
Rona.
You got the Rona. Yes. And you're living with HIV. So tell us about that. Like how is it dealing with both of them at the same time?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. It needs to be talked about, especially when we're learning about this virus and we're getting statistics and stats on, you know, like how it targets various peoples from the children to the elderly and those who are immunocompromised like myself and who have asthma and diabetes. So I would encourage those who are living with HIV and who have gotten COVID to answer these research questions when the county calls you. And it's completely private, and you know, they don't disclose it. So you're fine on that. But I think it's important to do that research so that way people can look at it and be like, oh my God, you know, this person has HIV and they had COVID and now they're still living. They're still okay. They're not on a ventilator like myself. I was very fortunate to get a mild case of COVID. No taste, no smell, headaches. That's it.
And diarrhea, no?
No diarrhea.
Oh, okay. Well, I wasn't sure.
I wish I got that part so I can lose a little weight, but...
Well, I'm so glad that you're doing much better now and that you didn't get the Rona like I got the Rona over the summer.
Yeah.
And so you're doing great. You're doing great, sweetie.
I'm actually really happy. I'm taking my medication. That's the important thing. Take your meds. Take your meds every day. So that way, you know, they say that people who are undetected are just like everybody else. It's, you know, they're not immunocompromised when you're undetected. So you're good on that, thank God. And the fact that, you know, I'm taking other supplements like vitamin C, vitamin D, echinacea, black seed oil. We also have colloidal silver. I have zinc. Oh, zinc helped with the whole smell and taste stuff. So that's good. So just do your part. Do your studies. Do your research. Drink hot teas and soups. And you'll be fine. So I'm a living testament.
I have another question, actually. So do you think that men who are positive and are, you know, actively, sexually active, they have a preference for bareback sex, mm-hmm. meaning like no protection because they already have HIV and they're already living with it and they may be undetectable or not undetectable yet. Is that like a thing to just go ahead and just say, fuck it. Like, why am I going to use a condom now? You know, I already got it. I might as well have more fun by doing bareback because bareback feels better, you know,
pleasurable,
more pleasurable. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are those people out there, and at the end of the day, it's up to them whether they want to use protection or not. It's your body. It's how you want to go about doing it. And that's about it. I mean, I can't say anything else for them. It's problematic, yeah, but it's their body. It's their prerogative. If they want to put on a condom, then they're going to put on a condom. If they don't, they don't. But they have to take responsibility of the consequences. That's what I got to say.
But it is, what I want to say is it is a little bit reckless, though.
Yeah.
You're right. It's problematic, and it is a little bit reckless. And I don't think that it's fair for them to mask the fact that they're HIV positive by just saying, oh, I prefer bareback. Okay, that might be a preference, but is there a reason? And I'm hoping that the reason isn't that you're HIV positive. But in a lot of cases, and I've seen it on the apps, that is the case, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I find that to be unfortunate, and that's just fucked up, you know?
Yeah, it's messed up. But again, for the person that doesn't have it and who's not positive, that's their own discretion of whether they want to do it bareback or not.
Yeah.
You know, that's up to them. And if they're also taking PrEP too.
Right.
So
yeah, you bring up a good point about PrEP. And speaking about that, we actually sat down and spoke with Miguel Bujanda, who is the executive director of Reach LA here in Los Angeles. And we interviewed him right before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. It was one of our last episodes that we recorded at Club Cobra, and we never got to publish the episode. We actually have a couple that we never got to publish. So when we come back from the break, we're actually going to include this lost footage that we have of us interviewing Miguel, and where he's going to talk about PrEP. He's going to talk about safe sex. He's going to talk about Reach LA, about HIV and AIDS. And just a disclaimer, this interview was before coronavirus, but I think that the information that he shares with us is still relevant and is super important.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and take a little break. We'll be right back. And we have our guest, Miguel Bujanda,
who is a Chicano born and raised in East LA and is currently the director, executive director of Reach LA. Yeah, welcome, thank Bobby.
You. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
So good to see you. I always run into this guy sporadically at events or in clubs and just
dark alleys.
No, not dark alleys. No? Shut up.
I mean, back in the day. Yeah, I wish. Back in the day in East LA.
Vaseline Alley again? Are we going to bring that up?
Oh my God. I haven't been there in a while.
Oh my God.
I've heard some stories, Miguel.
Well, these men are kind of true.
So how have you been? How's life treating you? How's everything going?
Life is actually, well, like really, really, really good. I'm really excited.
From what I see, like on your Instagram, from Reach LA, the concentration is more African-American and urban and Latino.
Reach LA now is a young person of color, LGBT, safe space center in downtown LA. Incredibly needed by the community. Reach LA works with primarily black and Latino men of sex with men, black and Latina transgender women, and cis heterosexual women. So ideally, vulnerable populations that are at risk for HIV. And we're expanding not only into HIV, but also STIs and substance use, primarily meth.
Is there a major problem with HIV in the QTPOC community?
Yeah. So black gay men... the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, they primarily released a report not too long ago stating that one in every two black gay men was going to become infected with HIV.
Oh, wow.
And also one in every four gay Latino men was going to become infected with HIV. I forget exactly how long it was, but I mean, these are numbers that are very scary to think about, to know that people of color are disproportionately affected by this epidemic. And we as organizations really have a lot of work to do.
Now, is it just people that you work with? Are they all HIV positive people, or is it like a variety of people who are, you know, that you get help for?
So I think to answer your question, we service all young people of color, regardless of their Latino or black. We service everyone in the community. Our focus and our primary target is black and Latino young people. Mm-hmm. Identifies trans, gay, even heterosexual.
And do you also like preach the advocacy of PrEP, getting on PrEP, and then also those who are HIV, making sure that they're taking their medications?
So I don't preach. I offer different type of services to what's more applicable to that individual, because I don't know exactly what they're going through in life.
Yeah.
So PrEP is a really good option for people that choose to have condomless sex. I abhor the term unprotected, because there's so many ways to reduce possibility of transmission, and people say unprotected sounds like it's a bad thing. The reality is people have used monogamy as a method of prevention. They, if they're truly monogamous, that actually puts people in a safe bubble, right?
Yeah.
If they use condoms 100% of the time, that's going to reduce their possibility for a lot of infections. Exactly. If they're on PrEP and they take it mostly every day, and I say mostly because the reality is there is some forgiveness in PrEP. So if you take it every day, you know, every day, you could potentially protect yourself from HIV specifically.
And what's the percentage in from contracting HIV from somebody?
So I heard
with using PrEP.
Yeah, so I heard you earlier talking about 99%. So if taken correctly, and you know, with strong efficacy, you can potentially reduce your possibility for HIV at 99%. But I don't like sharing those numbers, because that's if somebody takes it correctly. And just like condoms, unless they use it all the time, they take their pill every single time, can that number be true? So as a service provider, I don't go in and say, it's 99% effective. But that's if you decide to take it every day. You decide to use it every day. And unfortunately, people mess up
when it comes to it. And then sometimes they skip too, just because they're busy or not.
Yeah, but because people make decisions on like, I'm going to let him fuck me in the ass and, you know, come inside of me. And I really like that. And sometimes the reality is, if they really enjoy doing those things, how am I as a service provider going to wear a condom next time? It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And all providers, all services, these amazing big organizations that are out there, the reality is, you know, we just provide services, but the individuals have to make their choices every single time. And, you know, a lot of people don't like taking responsibility or blaming themselves for some of the choices. And it's my job as a service provider to just give people options on what works best for them.
That's good. It's not bad.
Yeah. Why are we all so serious?
I'm not serious. I'm trying.
I was thinking about something that I was reading.
I'm trying to like think. I'm like, wait a minute.
There's been like an, I don't know if it's like an uptick or a trend or something, but on the dating apps or like the hookup apps where they added, you know, the, are you on PrEP or mm-hmm. not on PrEP? And then like all of a sudden everyone was on PrEP. And then, you know, sometimes you like know these people and you're like, but you're not.
Yeah, you're lying. You're right. Lying
so
to
it,
me.
It was like, oh, I'm on PrEP. You can trust me. It was almost like using it as a, yeah. I don't know, like.
Well, let's go back to this whole in. Let's go back to this whole taking responsibility is right. Why am I caring what the person puts on their profiles? This is my body, my yeah. choice. Mm-hmm. So if I want to go ahead and protect me, this all of this, mm-hmm. I'm going to tell him to put on a condom if I want him to. I'm going to take my pill like I'm supposed to. I don't really care of people disclosing to me because the thing is they may not really know their status at that moment. They may think they're negative and not know. Mm-hmm. Or they may feel ashamed and stigmatized yeah. not to share their true status. Mm-hmm. So why the hell am I going to go ahead and say, well, whatever he says, I'm going to believe him. Right. Yeah. Maybe there's so many different factors. Everyone says, well, people lie. I never go there. I say people may be too scared to tell the truth because of society and how people treat people in yep. the society.
Yep.
So my thing is, let's start taking responsibility for our own bodies. Figure out what best prevention method works for you and stick with it. And that will keep you negative. And if you're positive, stick with being undetectable. You equals you. If you are undetectable, you are untransmittable. That means you cannot pass the infection to other people. And if we continue to stigmatize, ostracize people living with HIV, they will continue to have to lie about their status because of the negative consequences they have when revealing their statuses.
Is that the biggest misconception of like just like is that why people are hesitant to reveal their status so much?
I'm not a person living with HIV, but I know plenty of people who have told me that. And when people that I engage in sexual contact with tell me their status, I see the fear they have in their eyes when they decide to disclose. And they're always surprised. I'm like, okay, cool, let's go, let's get on. And like it's fine. Like,
oh my God, really?
Yeah, yeah. They're just so. And I'm like, I got me. If somebody discloses their status, I've actually told my sexual partners that if they disclose and I tell them and they're about to disclose, I'm like, you don't need to tell me. I'm cool. I'm good. It's
because you use protection already, right? Because
you got yourself covered.
Yeah,
I have my method of prevention. Yes. Not my.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting method.
So you and I know the risk of having condomless sex.
Right.
Yes. I know that I test every 3 months. I'm not afraid or ashamed to call gotta go get a test because I just tested positive for this. So, I mean, if it happens.
Oh, wait, you do that? You call the person up and you're like, hey, I got something.
Doesn't everybody?
I don't know.
Wait.
I had that done to me. Okay, well, I hooked up. I had a one-night stand with somebody and they were really nice about it. And I got a call like, 4 weeks later? He was tested positive for syphilis and he gave me a courtesy call mm-hmm. and he's like, yeah, I'm just giving you a courtesy call. Yep. Go get checked. I was like, okay, I'm all thank God we used a condom, but you still never know.
Right.
And so, yeah, sure enough, I got checked. I was clean. Everything came back.
Cool. Let's not use clean. That's a very stigmatizing word.
Really?
Yeah. Think about it.
What's
the opposite of clean?
Dirty.
Okay.
So imagine someone saying, oh, are you clean? That just, the automatically saying like, oh my God, if I'm positive,
I'm learning. I'm,
like,
I'm still
oh
learning
God,
about
I am,
this. Yeah,
I'm dirty.
We talked about this in another episode, but it's funny because or maybe it's not funny, but I find myself asking people if they're clean, but I meant like,
are you douched?
No, like I meant like, do you shower and like, are you clean? You know, like
no, they're being dicks about it. They're asking about your status and they want to know what kind of possible infections you may have. Yeah. Like, bitch, I don't know. I got tested 3 months ago. I've been fucking the last 3 months. I may have caught something on the way. Do you want to take a risk? Hey, sex is a risk. That's the thing. Let's just be honest about it. Stop, you know, dicking around with these like, oh, people are lying to me. Be real about it. It sucks.
So don't say clean.
Nope.
What do you say? Yeah.
When was your last, if you really care, if you really want to blame somebody else or put your sexual health in the hands of somebody else, ask them, when was your last STI results?
Or be responsible and own up to it and just say, hey, you know what? I got tested. I'm, you know, everything's okay.
But do know that there is still a window period for infections.
True.
Know that the test may not be 100% accurate at that moment that you're fucking. Mm-hmm. So be real.
So speaking of these words like clean, there was a switch from STD to STI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
is it because of that, because of the wording? Yeah, or is it something else?
Yeah. So like STD is sexually transmitted disease. Mm-hmm. STI is sexually transmitted infection. Infections can be cured. Diseases have a negative connotation that they can't be cured, that you're diseased. Ah. Okay. So an infection, and chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis can be treated and eliminated from the body.
Okay.
You could be reinfected with STIs. And then you have other infections like viruses, like herpes, warts, HIV, and those can be suppressed to the point where they're untransmittable. So that you're not cured, it just means you can't pass it. Remember, we get jacked up with a cold all the time. That's a virus. Uh-huh. That virus is still in all of our bodies right now. Yeah, our bodies has just learned how to adapt to it and suppress it.
Okay.
HIV, we're getting to that point. Truvada protects the cells so individuals do not seroconvert, which if the infection gets into your body, the Truvada or the medication that you're taking for PrEP protects the cells. So when the virus tries to attack the cell, it eventually can't and it dies in your body. That's what Truvada does.
Got it.
So it doesn't, it's not a magic pill. It's actually, it has a function that protects the cells that are in it. If you want to be like...
technical?
Not non-technical, really. Non-technical. Think about it. It's like a condom for the cells in your body.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And it's protecting it from being virus connecting. Yeah.
But condoms break.
There you go.
Yeah, and they break because we don't take our medication correctly, because we're skipping 2-3 days in a row. I mean, these things really have consequences.
Now, you mentioned Truvada. That's a brand, right? Mm-hmm. Or is that?
Yeah. So right
tell
now,
us about that.
Yeah. So I don't know too much about it, but I'll give you what I do know. So Truvada is the medication from Gilead, and this medication is primarily marketed as PrEP. So when a person wants to go get PrEP from their doctors, doctors don't necessarily know what PrEP is. They know what Truvada is. So a lot of people, like service providers like myself, need to coach our clients and say, don't ask for PrEP. Ask for Truvada for prevention.
Is that the only one that's...
Very good question. No. They just recently released Descovy, which is now more tolerable for the liver and the kidneys. And it's not... there's a lot less side effects to it.
Yeah, because I've been seeing that Facebook thing about Truvada. So
yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a moment.
The lawsuit stuff?
Yeah.
How long has PrEP been around?
So PrEP is, Truvada for PrEP use has been around for quite a few years, a little bit over 6 or 7 years. I got on PrEP in 2014 in some research studies. Mm-hmm. So about that time, that's when it kind of came out.
Yeah, because how long, I mean, do we see the long-term side effects yet, or how does that work?
Well, I mean, I don't have the research on me, but personally, me speaking, the long-term side effects has not affected me at all, 1. 2, the long-term side effects of having HIV and the medications I have to take for HIV probably sound a little bit more cumbersome. Mm-hmm. Than the side effects that these lawsuits on these Facebook ads that we've been seeing really constitute as dangerous.
So what are those lawsuits about?
Well, from my understanding, and again, I don't know very much about it. I'm not a lawyer, but I will say that a lot of it has to do with the side effects that come with a lot of the medications that we take. Think about it. If you take an antibiotic because you have a bad stomach bug or a bad infection, I mean, it fucks up your stomach, right?
Yeah.
Right. So when you take these medications, if you get side effects when you start taking the medication, they last no more than 14 days. They go away. So once you're taking it for about a month, you shouldn't see any kind of side effects. I had side effects. I had,
I think your body gets used to it.
Yeah, your body gets used to the medication. It fucked up my stomach.
Damn.
I mean, I wasn't able to bottom for 2 weeks. So I'm like, fuck Truvada. I'm like, shit. I'm like, I can't even bottom.
Damn.
So yeah.
Give me something different, please.
But once I started seeing some Metamucil and everything, it was worked out good.
Some guys are into that.
Yeah. What? Yeah, not me.
Steamroller.
What is it called?
A steamroller.
What's a steamroller?
Like, never mind.
No, tell us.
Qué cochino eres.
It's where they They do the pooping on the, they light the poop.
Diarrhea is not.
Or whatever.
Like poop on your chest?
That too. Yeah. That yeah. Too.
Why is that called
It's like two
roll?
Girls, one cup.
Oh. I mean, I've been
or
asked.
Or people who like to get urinated on.
Right, right. I've been asked sports, to like yes. take a dump on someone's chest. But some people like I didn't know that was called.
Let's not yuck people's yum. Let's, you know, everybody got their kinks.
All right. And since we're talking about pills, medication, there is also something I believe that you take. If you caught it or you take it after or something,
like an emergency,
like the after pill,
the morning after pill
for oops, HIV.
Oops, yeah, I got something. I killed it.
So, Brittany.
Thank you for bringing that up. So PEP is a version of it's similar to Truvada. It has a different type of medication combination, but you take this medication for 28 days after an exposure to HIV. Huh. So what happens is, but it has to be taken within 72 hours of exposure. So say right now, today is, you know, say for today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
And you fuck, he comes inside of you and you are really unsure of status. You're very comfortable with this. You have up to 72 hours to get on this medication. It's called PEP. You could ask it at your local health department or even one of the CBOs or even come here at Reach LA. We could talk to you about it. And you take the pills for 28 days. That's supposed to create enough protection around your cells. Mm-hmm. So if the virus entered your body, if it entered your body, it protects your body from becoming infected with the virus. But it only works within 72 hours. You could also get it at your local emergency room. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, they're usually free, but they will charge your insurance.
I wonder how that works. That's so interesting.
And that could be like me going to like a Kaiser, like a hospital. It doesn't have to be like
an urgent care.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. Hmm. Interesting. And also another question I was going to ask you was transmission of HIV, because people still don't know to this day of how you contract HIV. Mm-hmm. I mean, some people think it's still by a handshake or a kiss or something, but I know it's with either semen and blood mm-hmm. touching each other, right? Or blood and blood touching each other.
Yeah. It's a virus that has to enter your bloodstream. So how it gets there, a variety of ways, right? Mm-hmm. If it's blood-to-blood transmission, so sharing needles, that's the highest possible rate for infection.
I also wanted to find out because, like, what if I another thing about transmission? What if I jizzed in your mouth? You know, mm-hmm. like air shot it in you, and you caught it. Like, yeah. Would you still be able to get the HIV? HIV from it, or would you have to have a cut in your mouth? Because what I've heard is that when you ejaculate in the air, it dies when it's airborne.
Yeah. I've heard that too.
That was very confusing. Sorry, guys.
Well, first of all, great aim.
Yeah. shooting it through the air. It has to have a minimum of 3 seconds in the air for it to like lose it.
So, again, I am not a doctor, but I will definitely clarify some things that you just asked. There's been zero reports of from the CDC, the Center of Disease Control, that state that people have contracted HIV through oral transmission, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a possibility, yes. Again, we always talk about possibilities. In prevention, we talk about it's a possibility, so how do you reduce your risk? Not eliminate risk, because none of us could eliminate risk. Mm-hmm. We can only reduce it. So from oral transmission, there's zero reports of anybody being transmitted.
Okay.
HIV. So to clarify that, it is found. It's blood to blood transmission or seminal fluids, vaginal secretion. The fluids that are found in our pink areas, that I call them. So your mouth, your genitals, your anus, all have pink area, right? Mucous membrane. Mm-hmm. Those are not as strong and durable like our skin. Mm-hmm. So our skin is the largest organ in the body, and it protects us from all the bacteria and viruses that are floating around. Those areas are more susceptible to viruses and bacteria to enter them. This is why they're sexually transmitted infections. So they're transmitted when semen that has HIV, vaginal fluids that have HIV, or blood that has HIV enters that area. And even then, transmission does not take place. Huh. It has to attach to your CD4 cells, which are your white blood cells, right? So the cells that are part of your body. So if the virus doesn't enter your body, the virus would be present. So mm-hmm. transmission only happens if it's present. And this is where, like, we freak young people out and we say, oh, my God, if you have sex, you're going to die. Like, calm down. Like, no, sex is great. Let's have a really good – everybody loves sex. Why are we shaming and making sex such a negative thing. Even like when I work with heterosexual individuals, they tend to talk about like, you know, oh, you know, I'm straight. I'm not susceptible to HIV. HIV doesn't discriminate. If you got a dick, you got an ass, you got a pussy. I mean, these different things, you are susceptible to contracting HIV.
How does that work with the straight couples? Like if okay, let's say a female's HIV positive and the male is negative. Does he have to have a cut on his dick when he's in her in order for that to happen? Or
I mean, there's different ways. I mean, so I'm a big proponent of serodiscordant relationships. Let me explain what that is.
Okay.
Where one's positive and one's negative. I've been in relationships where my partner's positive and I'm negative. We take a very active role in our sexual health because we love each other and we care about each other, right? Mm-hmm. So what happens is we remind each other to take our pills because, you know, maybe him being undetectable will reduce his possibility to transmit it to me. Me taking my PrEP will reduce possible transmission for me. Mm-hmm. One. Two, the reality is there's so many relationships out there that take medications or even one takes medication to potentially reduce the transmission of HIV. If you're HIV negative, and this is all to my Latino brothers out there, if you're HIV negative, you can have a very successful long-term relationship with somebody who is HIV positive. This constant stigmatizing of telling people, oh, I can't have sex with somebody because they're positive, eliminating them from your dating pool. Well, fool, I'm telling you this much, you just X out a lot of people because these people are the ones that are not going to share their status with you. Mm-hmm. They're going to quote unquote lie to you because you decided to create a negative space for them to reveal their status.
Yeah.
And three, they have the capacity to love just like every one of us. And for us to ostracize them just because they're positive is one of the dumbest things. So back to your question in regards to straight couples, this applies same to straight couples. You know, when it comes to methods of prevention, a lot of straight couples that are in relationships don't use condoms at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 25% of new infections, and this is for straight and gay, 25% of new infections are from somebody who is in a primary, who's your primary partner. It's because they brought the virus into the relationship before from another relationship in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't test at a proper time, or they stepped out of the relationship because they had a monogamous relationship. Sexual agreements are very important in relationships. I don't care if you're monogamous. People use monogamy as this go-to silver bullet of like, well, nothing's going to happen. Well, no, bitch.
Yeah, like I'm a saint.
50% of relationships end because of someone steps out and you decide to end the relationship.
I Should Have Cheated by Keisha Cole. But speaking of like, I wanted to get into also race and ethnicity because in your poly relationship, you said your partners are all African American, and earlier you mentioned that one in every two black males mm-hmm. will be infected.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that statistic different from the Latino statistic, or why are, you know, people of color statistics higher than white?
It's reported that. People of color are not accessing services because
resources.
Yeah,
like Reach LA.
Mm-hmm. Like Reach
but
LA.
I see so many resources out there for people of color.
Yeah. So,
is there white people,
or is it because the way we were raised, our community, where we don't speak about it?
I mean,
don't
talk about it. We could go back to talking about how we accept raised. Relationships and how we accept sex in our life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sex is really not talked about. Like I now. 42 years old myself, my mom is in her 70s. I actually am very comfortable talking to her about sex. I mean, and she talks to me about sex, and she doesn't talk to any of my other siblings that way. But I've developed a relationship where I'm like, I never thought I would have a conversation with my mother. And I have a privilege to the fact that my mom is open to that. Because a lot of parents will never talk to their kids about sex.
That's true.
And
I wouldn't even say the word fuck or kiss. I wouldn't even like in front of my mom.
Yeah.
You know? I didn't do it either when my mom was still around. But yeah.
My mom probably thinks that I'm still a virgin.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't think she does.
Right? She's not my mijo.
No, but
yeah,
but
my mijo would never.
Yeah, in Latino culture, I think, you know, sex is still a negative thing. You know, working at organizations like Bienestad taught me a lot about those things because I, you know, as, you know, though I identify as a Chicano, Mexican American, a Latino, whatever you want to call me, you know, I was born here in the United States. So the thing is, like, that's a different type of Latino in itself. And, you know, I have a better relationship with my mom because I felt comfortable with sharing her with different things. Yeah. But I don't think a lot of my my counterparts really feel that way or can talk to their family or even their elders in that sense, right? So I think with both Black and Brown folk and even our, you know, Asian Pacific Islander, Native American brothers and sisters, they have a hard time talking about sex with their family. We still shame sex. Mm-hmm. And honestly, that puts us at biggest risk for contracting these type of infections. And it's something really important to acknowledge. And we need to support with one another. We knock each other down so fast. We talk
within
shit
our own.
Within our own.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we still, I mean, sorry.
We gotta
like,
erase that stigma.
Yeah. And brown folk need to stop being racist towards black folk and vice versa. Like, mm-hmm. we gotta bring each other up. I mean, we are the fucking majority in this country of people of color. And we act so dumb and divisive. I mean, you know, yeah. oppressors created the diversity term.
Yeah.
They divided us on purpose.
And we feed into it.
We feed into it. Oh, that one's from Salvador. Oh, that one's from Nicaragua. Yeah. Oh, that's a Puerto Rican. Don't fuck with her. Like, all these different things. And we do it ourselves. Like, that's some bullshit. There's so oppressive within our own cultures. And we need to stop that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we're glad that we have people like you and organizations like Reach LA that can really be a resource to the community and help fight that stigma and break those stereotypes.
Before we wrap up, just give our listeners all your social media outlets where they can find you, where they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, we could. You could check out our website at reachla.org. And our social media platforms we utilize is Instagram and Facebook. So we utilize social media outlets. You definitely could shoot me an email at miguel@reachla.org if you have any particular questions, and I'll be more happy to answer them at the best of my ability.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for coming.
No, anytime.
Now, we covered a lot. Like, dang. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you so much, Miguel, for joining us here and accepting our invitation. And we're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. And we're back from the break. You're listening to the Homo Homie podcast. And so that was Miguel from Reach LA. Thank you so much for spreading your knowledge and just shining the light on HIV and AIDS awareness. And, you know, telling us about what happens within our community, the Latino and the Black community.
Yes, he shared a lot of good information. And this actually has been a pretty heavy episode for me because I'm always the one that's Googling and researching what's going on with AIDS and HIV and safe sex. I know some of our listeners are like, oh my God, Jose, you're so boring. Live a little. And I'm like, I'm scared. But you know what? That's where the stigma comes from. You know, like that's where a lot of this misinformation is spread. So I'm always down to get educated. So I'm glad that there's resources like Reach LA in the communities.
Yeah.
So shout out to them.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for doing your part. We really do appreciate it. And just to let you guys know, again, this episode today was dedicated to those who have passed and those that are living with HIV still. So, you know, we want to just enforce and let you know, again, to practice safe sex and research about everything.
Yes, and don't let others make you feel that something is wrong with you. We're actually all living with HIV. Just because you may not have it doesn't mean you aren't living with it. Because it's among us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And also, take responsibility for your actions and be an adult. Get tested every 3 months. If you suspect that you caught something or a condom broke, go get tested and make sure that you're okay. And take responsibility for your actions, like I said. And don't use other people as a scapegoat for what you have done. You know, just be an adult. That's all I can say. Be an adult.
So yeah, I think that wraps up our episode for today. Just a reminder as well that you can find us on social media at the Homo Homie Podcast on Instagram. You can just Google the Homo Homie Podcast. We're pretty much everywhere. We do have a website coming soon. And I wanted to say that just to put pressure on Eric. And we're also streaming everywhere now. We're on Deezer, iTunes, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio. And also make sure to click the link in our bio on Instagram, because we have a lot of cool coverage and press about us. And we have a voicemail feature where you can drop us a line to be featured in a future episode.
Mm-hmm. Or you can go to the homohomiepodcast.com to that website that I'm still working on, and you can find the link that we have for our link tree for everything else. So don't worry about that if you don't have social media. So that way it's a lot easier for you guys to find. So thank you so much, guys, for listening to my story, for hearing me out. You know, I'm here if you have any questions. I don't have all the answers, but I can help you get them. You can also go and do your research online. We have various outlets that we'll put in our description section, so that way you can go check it out. And, you know, thank you, Miguel Bujanda from Reach LA, for, you know, coming and joining us and talking about his experience and his educational background on HIV and AIDS. And then, you know, thank you, Jose, for listening and hearing me out and supporting me as well, because I know I've told you about my status in the past, and, you know, you're very supportive and you've learned a lot from it as well. So I hope it's made you comfortable. Has it?
Yes.
Good, good, good. And thank you to the listeners. So once again, if you have any questions, just hit us up wherever you can, in the DMs or in the comment sections. All right, guys. Thank you so much. And remember to always be good, or be good at it. But be safe. All right. Yes. Bye.
Bye, guys.